Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levin.
I'm your host, Mark Levin, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Lots to talk about today. Got three main topics of conversation, though, of course, you're always welcome to dial in and add your own at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Three main topics. One is the Ossoff race, which was a special election in Georgia that just concluded last night with a disappointing loss for Democrats. Second topic is Trump Care, the Republican health care plan that will be introduced tomorrow and that Republicans will give all of America approximately 1 week or less to look at before they ram it down our throats. And then third, yes, Russia, Russia, Russia seems to always be a part. This time I want to talk about Russia interference in state elections. There was an interesting hearing on that this morning that I was able to watch before the Intelligence Committee. And what I'm trying to do in my home state of Virginia to prevent the next hacking in our next election, which is this November. Heck, it's just July, August, September, October, less than 5 months away. Let's start with the Ossoff race. Democrats and Republicans each spent more than $25 million in the most expensive congressional race of all time. Now, the winner between Ossoff and Handel would control one seat out of 435 in the United States House of Representatives. Yes, both sides absolutely saw it as a symbol. Democrats said if they could win a solidly red district, one that Trump won, but was represented by Newt Gingrich for many years, a district that the Republican who won it in 2016, just last year, Price, appointed by to be cabinet secretary for Donald Trump, won it by some 20 points. That Democrats said, if we can win that district, that is a great sign for us, and it'll, you know, foreshadow really terrific results throughout 2018. And that would have been true. We didn't win. We lost by 2 or maybe 3 points. Still way better than 20 points, but of course, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, as we say in the South. It's not close enough to win an election. So a number of Democrats disappointed about that. There was another race last night that got very little commentary, maybe because Democrats thought they didn't have a chance. That race was in South Carolina. And again, Democrats lost by 2 or 3 points. Frankly, lost by a smaller percentage than John Ossoff lost. There's been a lot of discussion about these races. I thought the most interesting thing that hasn't been discussed is the actual numbers, the numbers of people who voted. There are about 750,000 people, about 750,000 people in Georgia's 6th congressional district, and 250,000, or a third of them, came out. Actually, when you consider that probably a third of them are children or I don't know what Georgia law is on felons or immigrants, non-citizens, probably a third couldn't vote anyway. So let's say half, roughly, came out to vote. That's huge for a special election. But what I find really interesting is that if you look at the election, the special election in April, in this exact same district, the one where John Ossoff got 48.13% of the vote, he in that race got only 92,000 votes. If you add the Democrats who were also on the ballot with him, he got maybe 94,000 votes. And all the Republicans combined got maybe 100,000 votes. Now, in the runoff, Ossoff got 134,000 votes. So he beat what he did before by almost 50%. That's pretty damn good. But the Republicans did even better. They beat what they did before, and they got 10,000 more votes. So John Ossoff ended in the runoff with also 48.1%. He got the same amount or so, give or take a tenth of a percentage, that he got in prior to the runoff. So all this money, all this political money, to basically get the same result. Now, a number of people are going on and on about who John Ossoff is or why he wasn't a perfect candidate or all that. I don't care. Those don't matter to me. What matters to me is this. All this money, $50 million, probably close to $30 million on the Democratic side. It's definitely more than $25 million. Was spent to get one vote in the House of Representatives. Now, just to give you an example, I mean, one vote does matter, but just to give you an example, in the House Trump Care bill, that bill passed by 4 votes, which means that if one Republican had become a Democrat, it would have passed by 2 votes. Now, it's true, if 2 votes had switched, if we had won South Carolina and Georgia last night, that would have been enough to stop the House Trump Care bill. But 1 vote actually wouldn't have changed the result. And it tells you how 1 vote out of 435 is rarely dispositive, rarely the difference in the race. Again, not knocking all the support. In Alexandria, we had a lot of support for John. All across the nation there was. And Democrats are looking for ways to fight Donald Trump, and so they're taking every race they can find and going for it. And I'm not knocking us for that. But reports from the Ossoff campaigns show that they actually had more money than they could spend. They not only spent every penny they could on TV commercials, so much so that an Atlanta news station actually opened up a new news broadcast, a new 7 p.m. broadcast they didn't have before, just so they could take the ad money. They had so many mailers that they're mailing it out to everyone every day, and it got to the point where the field workers were literally handing 2 pieces of literature to everyone at the doors because they needed to use it all, and they had all this money. There comes a point, even in politics, where the next dollar given, the next $5 given, heck, the next $1 million given, can't affect the result. And in a district that went for Newt Gingrich, in a district where the Republican won by 20 points, we weren't going to win that district. We tried. I don't knock us for trying. We weren't going to win it. But I put up a thought experiment on Facebook this morning. I said, what if one-tenth of the money spent on the Ossoff race, $5 million out of $50 million, or I guess one-fifth of the Democratic, let's say $5 million of the $25 to $30 million that the Democrats spent, was spent right here where I live in Virginia on the race coming up in November this year, 2017. What if John Ossoff only had 20 to 25 million rather than 25 to 30 million? Would it have changed his race much? I don't think so. I don't think it would have changed it one iota. Not a bit. A lot of that money, by the way, came from California, New York, states that, where Hillary Clinton won a tremendous victory and that feel left out of the process because, frankly, the Californians and New Yorkers have fewer rights as American citizens than those of us from Virginia, a swing state, or people from smaller states. Look at the state of New Hampshire. Your vote counts in New Hampshire. It's not only the first primary. It's a small state. It's contested in general elections. And due to the vagaries of Electoral College, your vote goes a long way in New Hampshire. California goes the least. The only people who have less power than the people of California are the people where I'm sitting right now, Washington, D.C. If you live in the District of Columbia, of course, you have no congressional representation. You have taxation without representation. It is a colony. It is not a democracy. It's occupied territory, frankly, the District of Columbia, because the people here are not able to have the rights of American citizens to representation in Congress. So, okay, Washington has the least rights. But California's next, and a lot of people from California, and probably from Washington, D.C., were giving a lot of money to John Ossoff. Now, take $5 million, and let's turn the camera to Virginia. And yeah, it's my home state, and yeah, I'm a sitting state delegate, and yeah, I'm completely biased. But this isn't about my campaign. I'm running unopposed, by the way, in 2017. I did not get a Democratic or Republican opponent, so the money's, you know, I'm not raising money for me. I'm raising money for the other members of the House of Delegates. I'm raising money really for the challengers. There are 100 seats in the Virginia House of Delegates, and 90. We are contesting 90, 9-0 of them. Democrats today only control 34 of them, a little over a third. Now, that's partly due to gerrymandering, no question about it. But it's partly due to the fact that most Americans, and most Virginians, but I'm not going to pick on my state, most Americans have no idea who their state representative is. Quick, I want each of you listening to my broadcast to tell me or tell yourself, who is your state representative? In Virginia, we call them delegates. They call them delegates in Maryland, West Virginia, Kentucky as well. Most states call them representatives. Who's your state representative? Who's your state senator? If you live in Nebraska, you only have to name one name because you only have one house. Who is it? Do you know? The vast majority of Americans don't. Heck, it's hard for even Americans to name their member of Congress, though many can. Probably most can. I hope so. People don't know who represents them at the state level. And yet state elections matter. The vast majority of the laws that affect your life are at the state level. And if you want to know why Democrats are doing so badly right now in 2017, all you have to do is look back to the state elections of 2010. When the Koch brothers, very intelligently, I got to give it to them, I don't like them, but they're not dumb, poured millions of dollars into state races and thus took over state legislatures all across the country. We're at the point now where half the United States are completely controlled by Republicans. 25 states, maybe even the majority, but I know at least 25 states. Both houses, the House, the Senate, the governorship, entirely controlled by Republicans. Democrats have about 5 or 6. California is one of them, by the way. That's it. And, you know, 20 states have split governments like we have in Virginia. All because of control of the state legislatures. Now imagine, and this is a plea for those of you in California with a little bit of money to spend, and those of you in New York. We have an election coming up in Virginia in 2017. There are only two states in the United States that have elections on the odd years. It's kind of weird. We're kind of odd. It's us in New Jersey. And we all know what's going to happen in New Jersey. Chris Christie is not very popular. Republicans will lose in a landslide. New Jersey is a blue state. But in Virginia, it's purple. In Virginia, we need the governorship. In Virginia, we need the House of Delegates. If we won a majority in the House of Delegates, let me tell you something. People would notice. John Ossoff, we might have cheered for a while, felt good for a while. Be a one-day news story. But if we won in November 2017, if we won 17 seats in the Virginia House of Delegates, yes, even Donald Trump would notice. He'd have to. We turned a purple state blue. And if you think this is impossible, I want you to know that in Virginia, of our 100 delegate seats, 51 of them voted for Hillary Clinton, even in a gerrymandered state. Remember, John Ossoff's district voted for Donald Trump. But if just the districts that voted for Hillary Clinton in Virginia in 2016 voted for a Democrat in 2017, we control the Virginia House of Delegates. I'm telling you, Californians, New Yorkers, Arizonans, wherever you live, if you want to make a difference, one that Trump notices, contribute and help. Help us get a blue legislature in the Commonwealth of Virginia. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now, at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about the Ossoff race, but really, I'm looking at that in the rearview mirror. I want to talk about the future. And the future, yeah, it's in my home state. It's in Virginia. It's in the Commonwealth of Virginia. It is the next election on the horizon, and it's a big one. In Virginia, we're electing our governor, lieutenant governor, our attorney general, and all 100 members of the Virginia House of Delegates. And if you're saying, wait, Mark, I'm not from Virginia. I'm listing in Arizona or Georgia or New Mexico or California or any of the 42 markets we carry, North Carolina. Why should you care? Because this election, unlike John Ossoff's race, and I don't mean to pick on John. This isn't about him. I'm really not knocking him. I think he gave it a really good try. But it's not about one vote in the House of Representatives. Now, when I get to 2018, you betcha I'll be pushing really hard for House of Representatives votes. That'll be several races up for grabs. And if the Democrats take the House of Representatives, they may just be able to vote for impeachment in 2019. It's a big deal. But that's 2018. First comes 2017, this year, and 5 months from now, will be statewide elections in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And they matter. Democrats, as I say, only control a little over a third of the Virginia General Assembly. We're going to win some seats. But the question is not if, but how many. And if we win 17 seats, which sounds like a lot, increase our numbers 50%, we control the Virginia House of Delegates. And if you say that's impossible, I say this. Look how close we got in the Ossoff race. And there, Trump won that district. Whereas in 51 out of 100 Virginia districts, even though we've been gerrymandered, Hillary Clinton beat Donald Trump. We can win in Virginia. And money goes a lot farther in a local state race than it does in a congressional race, certainly than it does in a presidential race. I don't know why people give the presidential candidates. I get it. They feel good. They want to support them. Let me tell you something. You should commit to give 10 times whatever you give to a presidential candidate, to a state candidate. Give your token donation, $25, if you wish, just to make you feel good. But the state races matter. Let me explain why that is. I'm going to run out of time in this segment. I'll explain a little more in the other segment. If you're on the line, I will actually get to all of you. I see there's three people on the line. Interestingly, all from Virginia. So hang on, my Virginians. I'm going to get to you after the break. But in a presidential race, everybody knows. Everyone knew who Hillary Clinton was. Everyone knew who Donald Trump was. Everyone had an opinion on them. The ads really didn't change many opinions. But in a local race, and again, not just Virginia, it could be Georgia or North Carolina or New Mexico, Arizona. In a local race, I've just pointed out the vast majority of Americans don't even know who their local representatives are. What money does is it introduces you. Who is running? What is he or she all about? What have they done that's great? Why should I vote for them? Why should I vote at all in these off-year elections? There, your dollar, your political dollar, goes a very long way. This is Mark Levine. I'll get your calls right after the break. 888-488-MARK. Back after this.
Back to the aggressive progress.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine. $50 million spent in the most expensive congressional race, so much so that John Ossoff's campaign, and this is rare, had too much money. They just couldn't spend it all. Meanwhile, in state races all across the country, we're languishing. Certainly in Virginia, where the Virginia House Democratic Caucus is dedicated to helping as many delegates as we can, people to win these state legislative seats. We don't even have enough right now to fund the 17 in the districts that Hillary Clinton won. You know, nationally, there's 435 representative districts, and there are about 23 or so that Hillary Clinton won. In Virginia, there's only 100 districts, and 17 Hillary won that are controlled by Republicans. Just to do the math, we Democrats can increase from 34 to 51, we can increase by 50% and take the majority. Nationwide, Democrats only need to increase about 10% to take the majority. The point is, your dollar goes a lot farther in your state than it does nationally, your political dollar. And by taking over states, frankly, it's states that determine in 2021, in 2020 with the census, and then in the new elections in 2021, it's states that determine the district boundaries, not just for the states, but for the House of Representatives. Get to know who your state legislator is. And if you want to help us in Virginia, I'm going to do something I rarely do on air. Come support us. And I actually put a link on my website, marklevingtalk.com. Every dollar donated to me today, I'm going to donate dollar for dollar, penny for penny to the House Democratic Caucus directly into other people's campaigns, not my own, to go to elect Virginia Democrats. So if, you know, California gave millions of dollars to John Ossoff for one out of 435 seats. If we had a tenth of that money, I think we could easily flip the House of Delegates and make Virginia entirely blue in a way that, yes, Donald Trump would notice, in a way that would scare every congressional member of Congress, so much so they may not vote for the Trump care bill that's coming out tomorrow that I'm about to discuss. So please, if you can help out, please help. I'll put it in the Facebook link as well. All right, bunch of people on the line. I want to get to all of you. Three Virginians, interestingly, since I've been talking about Virginia. Cliff on line two in Virginia Beach. Hey, Cliff, how are you?
Hey, Mark. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Just real quick, as far as the Ossoff race yesterday.
Yeah.
I think Democrats, number one, have a case of, you know, the glass half full, glass half empty. I heard a lot of glass half empty Democrats really savaging Ossoff. For not winning that district.
Yeah, I haven't done that.
I'm not saying you are.
Yeah.
I'm just saying other people that I've seen on, you know, on television and
yeah.
on Twitter. I think, number one, that district has been a red district for at least 40 years.
Right.
I think he made significant gains for Democrats as far as running that race and really showing that and transforming that race from being like a complete blowout race for Republicans to now a competitive race where, you know, we can dedicate some resources in 2018. And hopefully he'll be the candidate since he's built up extraordinary name ID in that district. And like you were saying earlier, it is only one congressional seat in front of House of Representatives. So whether he had won or lost yesterday, the Republicans still would have control of Congress and Donald Trump still would have been president.
So let me ask you this, Cliff, since you are my fellow Virginian, even though you're in a different area of the state, you're down in Virginia
right.
Beach. How are we doing down there? How are our Democratic delegates doing down there? Do you know who's running in your district, and are you able to help him or her?
David Rose Carmike is running in the 83rd, so
okay.
that's the district that I vote in. But I
okay.
think right now the Democrat that's getting a lot of energy around her is Kelly Fowler out of the 21st.
I just met Kelly. I met Kelly a
yeah.
few days ago. I contributed to her campaign, and I'm a big fan of Kelly.
Yeah. Kelly has rock star potential in the Democratic Party. I mean, she's a formidable person. I mean, she's a natural political animal.
She's fantastic.
So,
love Kelly.
So I'm thinking she can do quite well in Virginia Beach, and a lot of the progressive groups like Indivisible and Motherboard and Together We Will, they're all strategizing right now to help her campaign. As
Good.
Well as the local Democratic Party. So I think you're going to see some cross-pollination.
I hope, Cliff, you'll be able to spend some time volunteering, knocking on doors down there. I'll be doing my part up here in Northern Virginia. But sometimes you need a ground army. Sometimes, I mean, money's
yeah.
great, but it also helps very much knock on doors and talk to voters. And if you and all your friends can do that, and you can post on Facebook and get people from outside Virginia to come support us, that could really help people like Kelly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I've been knocking doors.
Good for
I've
you.
I've knocked a lot of doors in the primary. So, yeah, I'll definitely continue that.
Fantastic. Cliff, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Let me go to Ismael in line one. He's in Manassas, Virginia. Hey, Ismael, how are you?
I'm doing great, sir. Mark, this is why we need you as the DNC leader, man. You should run for that position, you know, because you know exactly what needs to be done to win races. The other thing I wanted to add to it.
I should run for what position?
To the DNC chairman.
Oh, the DNC. Okay.
Because you seem to have a map and a plan, and they know exactly what needs to be done. Uniting Democrats all over the country. That's what it needs to be. People in California and Oregon helping people in other places.
All right. I'll consider running,
but
no time soon.
Exactly.
I need to be in office a few more years first. But thanks for the offer. Go ahead.
Exactly. And the other thing I wanted to add, also, Virginia is changing. Demographically, it's changing, as you can see. And that's one of the reasons why I really think that this year it's going to go blue. I definitely think so, because the demographic is changing. It's young, more millennials. It's very
millennials, yeah.
A lot of different ethnicity. That's another thing that is going for Virginia.
Well, we're going to win some seats. My question is only, absolutely, it's not if, but how many. But go ahead.
Absolutely. And what I really think what happened in Georgia District 6 and in South Carolina District 5 is that I think interstate cross-check clicks was activated. What do you think about that?
You know, I looked at the article that you provided to my producer in the break, and I realized I had read it before. I read it. Greg Palast put out these charges before the election and somewhat after the election. My problem is that I haven't been able to independently verify it. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying mm-hmm. that I hesitate to talk too much about it until I'm convinced it is true. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Here's my commitment to you. Greg Palast specifically mentions Virginia. And Virginia, of course, has a for now has a Democratic governor, Terry McAuliffe. Our governor's race is this November, and he is ostensibly in charge of the Department of Elections. I will talk; they will respond to me. I'm going to do a little of my own investigative research and see if I can verify what Greg Palast is saying, and I'm going to get back to you on that. Because again, I don't want to say it's true or false until I've done my own independent research. I will tell you this. I did look this up a few months ago and couldn't find any, you know, nonpartisan source talking about it, which made me suspicious. But I will do my own independent research, and I'll get back to you. All right?
Absolutely. And then the last thing I wanted to mention,
yeah,
we need an equivalent of a Koch brothers so we can start getting money out there. I mean,
we kind of have that. George Soros gives some money. But look, we have a few rich liberals, and God bless them, and I hope they help fund us in Virginia. But I will say this, Ismail, we're never going to have the amount of rich people behind the Democratic Party that they have behind the Republican Party for the simple reason that we are the party of working class people. We're the party of unions. We're the party of workers. We're the party of the middle class. We're the party that stands up for ordinary people's rights. And Republicans are the party that stands up for the billionaires. So it takes a special kind of billionaire. Look, the Kennedys were rich. The Roosevelts were rich. There are proud limousine liberals, and I'm glad to have them support us, but we're never going to have the kind of support from extremely rich people that Republicans are going to have, and I just accept that. And you look at the Ossoff race. Ossoff's money mostly came from very, very small donors, mm-hmm. while Handel's race came from, you know, a few rich people, and that's just something that Democrats, it's just the way it is. It's structurally the way it is. One reason is, frankly, why I want to get money out of politics, but that's going to have to be a discussion for another day. Thanks for your call, Ismail. I appreciate it. Let me go to my hometown of Alexandria, Virginia, and talk to my own constituent, Jeremy, on line 4. Hey, Jeremy, how are you?
Not too bad, Mark. How about yourself?
Thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts?
So, right now, I will say, I try to ignore the Ossoff race. I mean, I gave a donation. I did some things. I tried to help out where I could, but I know I'm busy. Like, you know how a lot of Alexandrians are, like, super, super busy. We want to help, but there's only so much time in the 24-hour day cycle.
We could do a lot more help in our home state of Virginia than we can in a special election in Georgia.
And I just donated, by the way, to you.
Thank you. And every dollar, I promise, will go to the Virginia House Democratic Caucus, dollar for dollar.
Right. So the next question is, what else, and this is more for others, because you know I'm already working on some things, stuff like that. What other things would you recommend to Virginians?
So here's what
donating in.
Right. So if you live outside of Virginia, frankly, the most thing we can use from you is donations. Although if you live outside of Virginia, you can still actually make phone calls on behalf of various candidates. Find a candidate that you like. You can even privately IM me, and I'll give you some good candidates, and you can actually make phone calls in. Virginians can do a lot more. We not only can donate and make phone calls, we actually can go door to door. If you live in Northern Virginia, there of the 17 races that will make the difference in November, the majority of them, some 10 out of the 17, are right up here in Northern Virginia. They're in Fairfax County, Prince William County, Loudoun County. Just those counties alone give us the majority. And, you know, Cliff's down there working in Virginia Beach. God bless him. I say, you know, good for you, Cliff. Keep working in Virginia Beach. But we Northern Virginians got a lot just right here. We have 10 seats that are winnable just right here. We don't have to go elsewhere. We don't have to drive more than an hour from our homes. And I found this running for office myself. The single best way to persuade a voter is face-to-face, door-to-door. Now, not just knocking on doors. Frankly, farmers markets, churches, synagogues, mosques, houses of worship, civic centers, just talking to people in a grocery store. But face-to-face contact. I happen to really like farmers markets, but face-to-face contact, talking with someone, finding out what their concerns are, and then meeting them where they stand. If their concern is transportation, find out what the Democrats plan to do on transportation. If it's education, talk about education. If it's women's reproductive choice, talk about that. If it's minimum wage or worker rights or guns, whatever the issue is, meet them face-to-face, talk with them, and you don't have to have all the answers. I know a lot of people, they're afraid to go door-to-door. They're like, well, what if they ask me about this obscure law I've never heard of? What am I going to say? And the answer is simple. You're not the candidate. You don't have to have all the answers. All you have to do is say, you know what, that's a really good question. I don't know anything about HB 5000, but I will go and I'll find out and I'll get back to you. And I found that if you do that, if you actually check and get back to that voter, the voter's surprised that you took the time to actually answer their question about this bill that they care about. And that's how you win votes, face-to-face, door-to-door. Now, then people say, well, what's money for? If we can win all these votes marked face-to-face, why do we need all this money? Well, the answer is it's very, very hard to talk to every person voting. One of the best ways to contact voters in a state race is not television. It's the mail. But, Mark, I get all those political things, and I throw them all away. Yeah, you do. And that's why – but you generally read them as you walk back from your mailbox to your recycling bin. You take a glance at them. And, yeah, mailers help because in most state races – people don't even know who's running. Sophisticated people like Jeremy and Cliff, Ismael, they know who their delegates are, but most Virginians don't. I'm not even criticizing them. Other people have more things on their mind than politics. They got families to raise, jobs to do. Maybe they enjoy sports or they're car mechanics or they whatever it is. They like to hike in the wilderness. Whatever it is, people don't focus on politics as much as we political junkies do, and that's why it's our job to get that person that only votes, for example, every 4 years in a presidential race and get them to come out. So if you live in Virginia, number one, the best way to get involved is to join your local Democratic Party. There's the Alexandria Democratic Party, the Arlington Democratic Party, the Fairfax Democratic Party, Loudoun, Prince William, you name it, wherever you live, Charlottesville has a Democratic Party. Every place does. Join your local Democratic Party, and they will help you. And the nice thing about that is you get involved as much or as little as you want. They will get you and get you in a room with 10 of your friends, and you'll start calling voters, and they'll tell you who to call and how to call. They'll train you on how to do it. That, my friends, is what grassroots is all about. That's what grassroots are. It's you and me and individuals. Not so much me anymore. I used to be me. I mean, now I'm an elected official. But it's people in their living rooms working together. And you know what's also really cool? When you work on a political campaign, you get to know people. You get to know your neighbors, your friends. You get to know other people who care just like you do. And a lot of people make a lot of friendships from working on campaigns. So you can go door to door. If you don't want to be out in the heat or it's hard for you to walk because, maybe you don't walk as well as you used to, you can make phone calls. Absolutely, you can make donations. There's all kinds of ways to help. And use that energy hating on Trump and stop screaming at the TV set and go out and work for some of these local races. And if everyone who listens to my voice does that and convinces 10 of their friends to do that, we're taking back Virginia. Did I answer your question, Jeremy? Is there anything else I can answer for you?
No, that's what I was just wanted to see if we could get something out there about, you know, what we could do in the area. Because, of course, this morning I woke up and I felt a little dejected, and that's what I needed to hear. And that's what I think helps.
We really can. I mean, that's the exciting thing. We don't have to do an Ossoff. Trump won Ossoff's district. In Virginia, the majority of districts voted for Hillary Clinton. All we got to do is get those same people that voted in 2016, get them back to the polls of 2017, and we win. And all we have to do is get people. People are already upset. The majority of Virginians certainly don't like Donald Trump. We just got to get them to vote in November. And that's what we're all going to work on. Thanks for your call, Jeremy. I really do appreciate it. When we come back, I want to do my other two topics, which I know I haven't spent much time on. I want to talk about Trump Care, which is coming out tomorrow. They're going to have a week to vote on it. And then I want to talk about, well, I guess going a little bit back to state elections, Russia interference in our state election systems and what we can do about it. Back after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. he's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. I spent so much time talking about OSSF in Virginia, I didn't leave much time left for my other two topics. But in the 4 minutes I have remaining, let me start with Trump Care. The United States Senate has kept under secret whatever their proposal will be to do Trump Care, to basically get rid of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, and put in something, apparently, that they can agree on. They're trying to get 50 votes, of course, plus Mike Pence. Now, I don't know what they're going to come up with. Nobody does. It, frankly, some of what they have to do requires 60 votes. To put it, the whole Affordable Care Act in took 60 votes. But there's no magic answer here, right? What they're going to have to do, because this is what Republicans do, is they're going to have to cut off people's health care. The way to save money in health care, here's how you raise money. Ready? Here's your secret solution. There are two ways to raise, to make money in health care, to save money. One way, the democratic way, you might call it, is universal health care. This is what every industrialized nation on the planet does. This is why 35 nations live longer than we do and pay less than half of what we do. It's the easy answer. Canada, France, England, Japan, Australia, virtually everyone in the EU, even Costa Rica does it. They live longer than we do. They pay less than half. That's one solution. There is, however, that's the Democratic solution. There is a Republican solution. One of the best ways to save money on health care is to allow to die all the sick people. You see, sick people cost a lot of money. And if you just let them die, you save money. Now, some might say this is equivalent to the modest proposal put forward by an Irish author, Jonathan Swift, who had his modest proposal that the English eat the Irish babies. But it was his solution. It's satirical. But the idea is you save a lot of money if you just get rid of poor people. And one of the best ways to get rid of poor and sick people is to let them die. And that's basically the Republican health care plan. So the House health care plan basically took 23 million Americans and removed their health care. And we know that for every million Americans removed from health care, about 1,000 of them will die. So Republicans, by killing 23,000 Americans, actually saved money. And they saved money because Medicare costs money. And now these people don't need Medicare. They don't need Social Security. They just simply die. That's the Republican solution. Now, they don't need death panels. You just take away their insurance. You deny them kidney dialysis. You prevent them from getting the heart pills they need to prevent them from getting a heart attack. There are lots of ways to let sick people die. In essence, and I don't know what the Republican plan is. It's coming out tomorrow. They're going to give all of Americans a week to vote on it. Mitch McConnell is demanding that it be done by a week from tomorrow. Drafts tomorrow. Great. The final bill will be a week from tomorrow. The reason they won't let people analyze it is with time analysis, they will figure out exactly how many Americans will die. And let me suggest to you that if the Republican health care bill will kill you, you probably shouldn't vote for Republicans this fall, whether or not they succeed in passing it. But one of the things we're going to have to do, and you can write this number down now, 202-224-3121, is you're going to have to call your United States senator and tell him or her not to vote for whatever comes out until we've had at least a month to look at it. A week is not enough. And 10 seconds on Russia, let me just say this. I was the only member of the Virginia General Assembly to attend a seminar in Williamsburg as to how to protect our election machines from the Russians. I think it matters. That's all the time I have, folks. I'll be back on Monday with more of the Inside Scoop.